Let's pray. Lord God, you came down. Heaven came down from on high. Just that thought alone should humble us in a profound way, in profound ways. The implications should be profound that you came down. You created everything, the creator of all the universe. And we sinned, and you were still patient, and you worked, and you sent your son into this sin-filled world. It's mind-blowing to think about, to comprehend. And Lord, even in this room this morning, there's lots of things going on in our minds and in our hearts, in our lives, just so many things. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to see you for who you really are. Like these songs that we've just sang, these truths that were read in the scriptures, Lord, I pray that it would bring hope, that it would bring hope. Because that's why you came. You came to settle the score. You came to die for our sins, to die in our place. And you are the only one, Jesus. You are the only one that was worthy. So, Lord, I pray that even just the rest of this service, as Pastor Tim brings this message, Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and that your Holy Spirit would convict where we need to be convicted, where that needs to happen. And I pray that we would be encouraged and filled with hope where that needs to happen. Lord, you know where each and every one of us are. But Lord, I just pray that you would have your way through the rest of this service and move in a mighty way that only you can do. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And it's all about you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Well, amen. Thank you, CJ. Appreciate it. Still didn't have any intro music, you know, as I came up, for those of you who are normally here. And I don't get to preach a super controversial text this morning, so I'm kind of out of my lane, so you'll have to forgive me a little bit this morning. But Merry Christmas again for those of you who weren't here when we started the service. And CJ said, my name's Tim. I'm the associate pastor here. If you're visiting for the first time, we're glad that you're here. It's good to see as many people here this morning. You kind of wonder on Christmas Eve or Christmas on a Sunday morning how many you will see. So it's good to see all of your faces. Hopefully you'll join us tonight at 5 p.m. for our evening service. We'll have cocoa and cookies to follow and sing some more songs. Today we're very music heavy as well. So as a gift to you, some of you, I'm going to preach a shorter message today. So Merry Christmas. And for those of you who are hoping for a little bit longer, it's like a coal in your stocking. So, but that's all right. It's a bah humbug for you. But that's okay. So, hey, we started last week. Pastor Jason started our series on Emmanuel, God with us. And he preached on Jesus coming down fully as God. And today we're going to look at Jesus being fully human. And what that means, that he came down and fully human in human flesh. And we're going to look at several texts there this morning. So Emmanuel, God with us, last week, well, I already did that. I'm already jumping my notes. See, I told you, I'm out of my lane today. But before we get to the why Jesus came in the flesh, let's look at some proof texts, some verses. I have four here for you that proves that Jesus came down not only as fully God, but fully man. So let's look at John 1:14. And the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was flesh. He is the Word. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, I gave you the prophecy, but we would see it play out, and we do see it play out in Luke 19. in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, just shortly before Jesus is crucified, he gets on the back of a donkey and rides into town. 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." And Colossians 1:15, "He," Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Firstborn meaning preeminent or superior. Jesus was physically here. God was physically here. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for this morning. We thank you that we can focus on what Christmas is really about today, Father. That you came fully as God and yet fully as man, and the mystery of all of that and how that works, Lord, we may not fully understand, but Lord, we are thankful for that. Father, it would be wrong of me not to think or consider that Christmas can be hard for some. It can be heavy. So, Father, for those who are struggling today to celebrate, may they cling to joy. Not something happy and clappy, Father, but joy in you and who you are and what you have done for us. May they cling to your word and cling to your Spirit and feel your presence. Guide us today as we look at your word, Lord, and may I be free from error. In Christ's name I pray. So Jesus, God, who we said is preeminent, who is superior, who holds dominion over all, who is sovereign, who rules over all, created all, holds all things, who is fully perfect, who is holy, came down to earth in a fragile, corruptible body with human flesh, a human brain, a human heart, with human feelings, fully capable of joy and sorrow and pain and even temptation. This is the definition of humility, of humbleness. He didn't have to do it. He wanted to do it. But the question is, why would he do it? Let's look back at part of the Christmas story I read earlier, Luke 2:22-24. "And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." So Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to dedicate him at the temple, to dedicate him to the Lord. He was the first one out of Mary's womb. But why the sacrifice? Why were two pigeons required or two doves? Well, one, it was to spiritually cleanse the individual. Blood had been shed when Mary gave birth to Jesus. The old covenant with God required a sacrifice to cleanse, and it also required one to appease the Lord. See, since the fall in the garden, humankind has been separated from God, not just physically from God, but spiritually from God as well. Romans 5:12 tells us that. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man," that's Adam, "and death through sin," that's physical death and spiritual death, "and so death spread to all men because all sinned." This is the penalty. This is the curse. From perfection and righteous in God's eyes and walking with him to unrighteous, not right with God, to sinful and facing eternity away from God. This is everyone. Everyone who does not know him. We are all born under this penalty, under this curse. Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, our sinful ways, our sinful thinking, like the wind, take us away." So from the moment of being kicked out of the garden, we see sacrifices being required by God as an act of worship and making peace with God. But these were temporary acts and imperfect vessels. But God takes sin seriously. Blood was required. On a side note, I was reading this morning in my quiet time when Solomon built the temple, and they were blessing the temple. And you see over 700 bulls slaughtered and numerous sheep, and I just started thinking, like, how much blood is that? And what do you do with all the blood? It was over 500,000 gallons of blood just for the cleansing of the temple. That's a lot. God takes sin seriously. But they were imperfect vessels, and they only appeased God for so long, and they only cleansed for so long, and we needed a perfect answer. We needed an eternal answer, and as imperfect humans, we would never make this happen. And we are not and never will be the answer to being right with God. So if the shedding of blood of animals was not good enough and our own acts of kindness are not good enough, even our righteous acts, as Isaiah just pointed out here, if we're incapable of following the law of God or Ten Commandments perfectly, then what makes us right before God? It requires a perfect sacrifice. Perfect blood. It requires an act of God himself. It requires Jesus. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So how did Jesus redeem us? How does Jesus put us back in righteous status and declared a child of God? Isaiah 53:5. But he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. The word, Jesus, became flesh so that we might be saved, that we might be right with God. It was Jesus' atoning act on the cross that makes us right with God. His blood needed to be shed. His flesh needed to be crucified on that cross. He and he alone brings redemption. He and he alone brings reconciliation to the Father. Jesus, who has always existed because he is God, came down as a little baby, fully vulnerable to the world. He grew up amongst humankind. He had a mother and a father. He had siblings. He would have played games like any child. He would have laughed and cried and joked amongst friends. He would have learned a trade like carpentry because his father, Joseph, was a carpenter. He physically lived on earth for 33 years. He didn't come down just for 3 days. He didn't come down on a Friday and die on a Sunday. No, he was here for 33 years. The fact that he lived a human life means that God can sympathize with our struggles and our pain. The Word of God tells us that he faced temptation of every kind while he was on this earth, and yet did not give in to temptation. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was and is perfect. He came to die, to set things right, to make a way. He came to bring salvation, and he came to show us as believers how to live. He came to show us his character and leave his word with us. And most importantly, he came to bring God glory. Our God has made himself known. Our God in all his glory and mystery made us a way back to him. The incarnation means that God went to infinite lengths to make himself known so that we can know him personally. This is the grace and mercy of God. His act of salvation on the cross, his death and resurrection proved that he was human enough to die and yet fully God to resurrect. So what do we do with this? I did a wedding a couple of weeks ago in Northeast Iowa for this couple, good friends of ours. And the greatest desire outside of saying I do was that they wanted the gospel shared in their wedding. And when we were sitting down to plan it, getting a little bit more background on their families, the bride had made it clear that her family would say they're believers by tradition. They don't really go to church. It doesn't really play out on the daily, but if you said, hey, do you believe? They'd say, yeah, I believe. And but she wanted her family to know the gospel. So I told him I usually try to work that way through and weave it through the sermon anyways. So I would make it very clear. And then I said, well, what scriptures do you want read? She goes, the Bible? They're all good. I'm like, well, we can't read the whole Bible. So we were thinking through some verses. And you're used to hearing 1 Corinthians 13, the love verses. But I looked at her and said, do you want to do the Roman road? And if you don't know the Roman road, it's Paul does a beautiful job to explain who we are before Christ and then who we are after Christ. And the Friday night of the practice, the scripture readers got their verses, and I asked the couple to write a narrative why they wanted these things to be shared. And so the readers, Angela's sitting by him, started to read through, and they're like, what is this? Why are we reading? Where's the love verses? And the other gal said, well, look, like right here on the top, they want us to know this because they love us. That same truth and desire is here today. We, as your pastors and the other believers in this room, if you don't know Jesus, we want you to know Jesus, the giver of salvation. Here are Jesus' own words in John 3, 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light being Jesus, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. I asked a moment ago, what do you do with this? You have two options. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, well, then the Word of God, Jesus himself says, believe and be saved. But this belief is more than just head knowledge. It's a complete life shift. Your old self must die. The self that has been carrying on and rebelling against God must die. And a new self born, which is only accomplished through Jesus Christ and his Spirit dwelling in you. Your life will look different than the world, because God has done something different in you. So it means that you repent, you turn away, and you follow Jesus to the best of your ability. It means that you seek forgiveness for the things that you have done. The scripture says that God will wipe your sins away and make you white as snow. He will make you righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He will make you right with God. He will make you clean, all through Jesus. Secondly, if you are a believer, then celebrate. Be thankful. We celebrate Jesus coming to this earth to bring salvation. For all mankind, as the prophet Simeon held God in his hands, which is hard for me to even comprehend, the creator of the universe in his hands. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light of revelation for the Gentiles, which is us, and for glory to your people, Israel. This is Christmas. This is Christmas. He is Christmas. There is no Christmas outside of Christ. He is the first Noel, which I believe we're going to sing here in a moment. The first Christmas card. I had to look up what Noel meant. Christmas card. He's our first Christmas card. As I close, I want to read the lyrics to an old hymn called See Amid the Winter Snow by Edward Caswell. David Nagley, are you aware of that song? I wasn't aware of that one. All right. But it's great. See amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below. See the tender lamb appears, promised from eternal years. Hail, thou ever blessed morn. Hail, redemption's happy dawn. Sing through all Jerusalem. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. He who throned in height sublime sits amidst the cherubim. Say, ye holy shepherds, say, what's your joyful news today? Wherefore have ye left your sheep on the lowly mountain steep? As we watched at dead of night, lo, we saw a wondrous light. Angels singing peace on earth told us of the Savior's birth. Sacred infant, all divine, what a tender love was thine. Thus to come from highest bliss down to such a world as this. Teach, O teach us, holy child, by thy face so meek and mild. Teach us to resemble thee in thy sweet humility. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the salvation that you brought to make us right before you, to make us holy before you. Even when we mess up and we stumble and we fail and fall because we are not perfect, yet we are in your eyes through the blood of Jesus Christ. We receive that, not deserving it. Help us to resemble you. Merry Christmas, Jesus. Amen.